I'd like to thank everybody that braved Florida weather to come out to the share this morning. It's raining quite a bit over here in South Florida. And I'd like to thank everybody. You might hear some of the noise coming in our over our skylight, our windows there. But Baruch Hashem, you can't shovel this rain. Now, today's shiur is part of our halachic personality series that we've done over the years, where we take a halachic personality and we try to give an appreciation of his life through his psakim, through his halachos. And in a certain sense, I'm standing with a little extra trepidation. It's always nerve-wracking giving a shiur about such great gedolim, poskim. But today we're actually dipping back further, an earlier persona than we've ever done. I think till this point, the oldest personality that we gave a shiur on was Rav Henkin, who was one of the earliest big poskim in America. With this shiur, we're going back pre-America to the probably one we'll call the Gadol HaDor, the greatest posek of the last era in Europe, Reb Chaim Ozer Gordinsky. And we entitled today's shiur, Reb Chaim Ozer Gordinsky, the first posek of the yeshiva world. And hopefully by the end of today's shiur, we'll all understand why that subtitle, why we can refer to Reb Chaim Ozer as the first posek of the yeshiva world. Now, firstly, to dip into Reb Chaim Ozer's background. Reb Chaim Ozer was born in 1863 in a town near Vilna. What's interesting was he had roots in Vilna for close to a century. His father was the Rav of Vilna for 40 years. His grandfather before that was a Rav in Vilna for 40 years. And Reb Chaim Ozer himself was a Rav in Vilna even longer. So it's quite amazing is you had this chain of these Gradinskis, these Rabbanim, that were Rabbanim in Vilna for way over a century and a half. Or the Gradinsky family were Rabbanim in Vilna. We know Vilna got its prestige first from the Vilna Gaon, but through these ages, the Reb Chaim Ozer Gradinsky, but preceding him, his father and his grandfather, were part of the Rabbanus that helped steer that major city in the Jewish world. Now, you look at his biography, he might have been born into a great rabbinic family, but it didn't look like this young Chaim Ozer would go on to be a great Rav, let alone a leader, the leader of the Jewish people. He was born sickly. Throughout his youth, he was someone who was very weak. And people didn't think much of him. Scrawny, weak, sick child. But Baruch Hashem, he was born with a great mind. So much so, there's an amazing story in his youth. When he was about 10 years old, so Rabbi Yisrael Salanter came to town, and it seems this is one of the things that Rabbi Yisrael did, I'm sure with an advantage to push the Muslim movement, but he would fahare the town, all the great Talmidei Chachamim would come, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would pose, we'd call Mishmer Shaila, a tough question for the greatest Torah scholars to try to answer. His questions were so complicated that just to understand the question, to grasp the question, means you were on a level, a high level, let alone to answer it. And the Talmid Chacham of the city, many times, this time in particular, were stumped. Nobody had an answer to his question. Well, after a while, a young, scrawny, 10-year-old kid approached Rabbi Yisrael and says, I would like to give an answer to your question. And his answer, besides the fact it clearly showed that he understood the question, he was able to take off even part of the premise of the question and give a brilliant answer to this question. Everybody paid attention from that point on to this 10-year-old, especially Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. In fact, a while later, there was a shidduch proposed to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's granddaughter. Guess who it was? The son of the young son of the Rav Gradinsky. And, okay, Rabbi Yisrael remembered years earlier how this young child with this brilliant mind was able to answer his question. But he wouldn't give approval yet of the shidduch. He says, I know he knows how to learn. But is he a Baal Musar? Is he a person of good midos? The pasuk says, when it talks about marriage, Esbiti nasati le'ish hazeh. I give my daughter over to this man. An ish, zakt Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, means a mensch. Is he a mensch? When the family inquired and they found out that Taka, he was a mensch. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was somebody his whole life who worked on himself, learned Musar. They say he had a Mesil Sisharim inside his talis bag. He passed that test too. And he was married to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's granddaughter. Shortly after that, he became the Rav in Vilna. In fact, this is already, he was just in his 20s. And people shepherded him that, you know, how can you appoint a Rav? People, he's so young. Okay, I know he's brilliant. I know his father was a Rav, his grandfather was a Rav. But he was young. So Chaim Ozer had a very sharp and a good sense of humor. So there's a concept of a mum over, a blemish which is going to pass. So he says, my age is a mum over. I'll get over it. Smart kid. And that's how he slowly won the hearts of the people of Vilna. Eventually, after the death of the previous Rav, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, another huge name of last generation in Europe. So then Chaim Ozer became the head of the Beis Din, and for the rest of his life, he was the posek, not just of Vilna, but he became the posek of the entire world. Europe, Russia, and even America all turned to him as big Rav, a big posek. But it wasn't just that he was a Rav who was able to paskin shilas. It was much bigger than that. He was somebody that had tremendous political and keen. He was a leader. He was able, they say he had an amazing memory. He never forgot a person, never forgot things. And he was able to give recommendations, understanding people, understanding situations, communal situations. And he was the go-to person, really, in running the Jewish world. He founded, in his lifetime, an organization first called Knesset Yisrael, which is the forerunner of the organization you might have heard today called Agudas Yisrael. He was also one of the founders of Agudas Yisrael. He was the founder of a major tzedakah organization which exists Ad Hayom Hazeh in Israel and America, Ezra's Torah. And he was also founded the idea and the organization called the Vad HaYeshivas, which played a crucial, crucial role in beginning with the World War I, when all the yeshivas went through tremendous turmoil. He himself organized all the yeshivas to transfer from city to city to escape the war zone, and so too in the Second World War. He was Nifter in 1940, just after the beginning of the war. But he was very, very involved in the movement of Yeshiva Bachrim, yeshivas, and in dealing with all the challenges they had. He was literally the captain of the Jewish ship. And for that, you know, the Jewish world is forever indebted. One sad chapter, he only had one child in his lifetime, a daughter. I believe at the age of 19, she was Nifteris. So Chaim Ozer never left a descendant. But I think all the more so, the importance of what we're doing today, going over his life, is not just a picture of a great gadol, a posek, we can learn a lot of interesting halacha, but it's really keeping a legacy alive. Chaim Ozer is one of those names. Hopefully in the yeshiva world and Torah world, people have heard of him. But there is no family to call in this situation. And but by learning his Torah, he's alive. Now, like we try to do in all of these halakhic personalities, we try to highlight different aspects of them. And it's very hard to pick, especially people who are so multifaceted. Chaim Ozer was called by Gedolim as an Ish HaShkalos, person who has so many different traits, his hand in so many things. It's really hard to define a person. But in spending some time going through Chaim Ozer, I'd like to focus today on three areas. The first one I'm going to entitle A Posek, A Baal Achrayus in a Critical Era. And we'll discuss different psakim that were very relevant to the world in the amazing time that Reb Chaim Ozer lived. Then I'm going to talk specifically about the sefer that he wrote, Shal Shetshuvas Achiezer, as a sefer of Lamdis, and there's something that's quite important about that. And finally, to what I call the subtitle of today's share, the first posik of the yeshiva world. Those are the three areas that Be'ezra Hashem I'd like to get involved with this morning. So first, a posik, a Baal Achrayus in a critical era. If you look through Shal Shetshuvas Achiezer, which there are four volumes, you look through the sefer, if there's one topic which takes up, I would say, the majority of the sefer, it's tshuvos about agunos. There are so many tshuvos that Reb Chaim Ozer wrote about allowing women to get remarried. Now, knowing the time period where he lived, we're talking World War I, World War II, and not just the European continent, but also what was going on in Russia at that time, there were tremendous, tremendous upheaval and brutality, pogroms, fortunately, the beginning of the Holocaust, and women had many shilas of husbands who went to Siberia and didn't come back, husbands who were taken by soldiers, never to be seen again. And what to do with these women for them to get remarried? And Reb Chaim Ozer spends much, much time finding, looking for heterim. I vividly remember the Rosh Yeshiva, my Rebbe, Reb Henoch Leibowitz, many times would talk about Reb Chaim Ozer. One of the things he would talk about is stories of how the woman, the wife of the husband who was missing, would come and plead their case to Reb Chaim, Chaim Ozer, to see if he could find the heter. And the line was, the tears of these women pierced the heart of Reb Chaim Ozer, and he was able to find heterim. And the Rashiva would explain to us, don't think for a moment Reb Chaim Ozer veered one iota from the Torah halacha. Reb Chaim Ozer was the leader of Orthodox Jewry. He did not make compromises, but the Rosh Yeshiva would explain that, look, a person could be motivated to work hard and help out a person by finding a heter. But the more you're connected with that person, the more strength and motivation it gives you, I got to work harder. I have to find the heter. Chaim Ozer was someone who's a tremendous Baal Achrayus. He was a person who felt he has tremendous responsibility. So that responsibility, coupled with the tears of seemingly a widow, drove Reb Chaim Ozer to learn harder, to work harder, to write a tshuva. In fact, one of the stories they say, when his daughter was deathly ill, he was by her bedside, doing everything he can. At one point he ran to the Chafetz Chaim, who he was very close with, begging the Chafetz Chaim to daven for her. But one of the last things he did before she was in the terrace was he realized she's about to be nifter, and he's going to have to sit shiva. And he knew that there are shilos that he had to paskin, perhaps even shilos of agunas. He quickly ran to his base medrash and started writing tshuvas that they should be out before the shiva starts. That was his dedication to both family on the one hand, but to Klal Yisrael the other. I remember the Reshiva also used to tell us that Reb Chaim Ozer was somebody who, being the fact he felt this achrayus as a leader, he would be very involved in knowing the politics, knowing what's going on in the world. He would read the newspaper all the time. He would read the newspaper to know what's going on in the world. So Reshiva used to joke that a certain Rosh Yeshiva, who Reb Chaim Ozer would call the firmer, would come to visit him, he would quickly hide his newspapers. He says, uh-oh, the firmer is coming. Quick, we got to hide the newspapers. Right. So that's Reb Chaim Ozer's balance. He knew what he had to do to be a man of Yisrael. There's an interesting shaila. I believe it came to play after Jews settled in Eretz Yisrael, perhaps even the founding of the Medina. And Baruch Hashem, Jews had farms, and Jews had cows. And a shaila, what to do with a cow in terms of milking on Shabbos? And tricky situations, not so simple. And if you look on top of your sheets, there's a tshuva written by Reb Chaim Ozer about 80, 90 years ago, where Reb Chaim Ozer gives a heter to milk cows on Shabbos. In fact, even more, you read underneath it, the Chazon Ish. Sounds like he was involved with this tshuva. In fact, maybe the tshuva was originally even sent to him. He writes, for those who are fighting against milking cows on Shabbos, the Chazon Ish writes in the second paragraph, Yesh biyadi michta mi meron hagoin Reb Chaim Ozer mivilna shlita. I have a letter from Reb Chaim Ozer. Shemaskim lidros papirka, that he was maskim to talk about it publicly. Heter chalava li'ibud, that one could milk a cow on Shabbos. Akri sherova poskim, the malach hashem tzriklim l'gufa midrabanan. I want to say it's considered a malach hashem tzrikl l'gufa. You don't exactly need this itself. And therefore, makom situation like this, it'll be mutter to do on Shabbos. I remember when I discussed the learning in Eretz Yisrael, I think we spent one Shabbos on a kibbutz, maybe kibbutz Chofetz Chaim. One of these places. I remember we were there for Shabbos. And one of the things they showed us was milking cows, the whole system they had of milking cows on Shabbos. Where's that heter come from? Reb Chaim Ozer. And it was even sanctioned by the Chazon Ish. That's what they do. Exciting times. Eretz Yisrael, a Jewish community, milking cows. Going back into Europe, the Jews of Europe, we know, suffered so much, but it wasn't just the pogroms and the killings, and they were harassed legally by the Germans, by the Polish. There was a ban against Shkita, different things. One, Chaim Ozer signed a tshuva, which is actually this tshuva you find about this, about Shkita, was signed by Chaim Ozer, I believe also by the Chafetz Chaim, Baruch Ber, and others, where they talk about the dangers, stunning an animal, different things that was being pushed by the governments, which obviously, definitely through the perspective of history, we know it wasn't just, you know, PETA, and they want to the humane treatment of animals, which that might also be a cover. But really, underlying everything was anti-Semitism. It went even further. At one point, they realized, they're very smart, practically, how do Jews do Shechita? What happens in the Schlachthaus? Practically speaking, Jews only use half an animal. They only use the front part of an animal. The back part, which has issues of nikar agid, of taking out different sinews, is a very tricky thing to do. So practically what's done is that the hind part, the back part of an animal, is sold to goyim. We sell the back part, so, and the front part, that's what shechita's done, and that's what we eat. So the goyim, the Polish first, smart. Not all Polish jokes are true. They decided, okay, we're not going to outlaw shechita outright. That's going to be too rough. So what we're going to do is just make a rule. We're against the policy of shechita. Jews want to do it. We're not discriminatory against Jews. But they can't sell their meat to us. That's what's going to be. If we can't sell half the price of a cow, of an animal, we just lost. Huh? Okay, they have other cows. So, and Chaim Moser was very nervous that, look, when it comes to such monetary losses, what's going to end up happening is we're not going to get rid of the back part of the cow, and that's going to be used too. So, in fact, there's a tshuva. He wrote, I believe it's the last tshuva in Chelek Gimel. He wrote this tshuva actually to the Baba of a Rebbe, who was very nervous about the whole situation. And basically, Rabbi Chaim Moser comes out with a heter to do Nikar Hagid and matred it. And even though for generations it wasn't done, Rabbi Chaim Moser didn't feel necessarily that was a neder that people accept upon themselves to be machmer not to do it. It could have just been, we didn't have experts to do it, but there are people that have a Masorah. Sfardim had a Masorah in this. And that was Chaim Ozer's Eitza, way to get around this Polish Gzeira against Shechita. There's a fascinating story I came across, which is actually recorded in the archives of Aguda and different newspapers of the time. In the 1937 Aguda Knessia Gedola, one of the topics that was talked about was, already was making winds, the idea of an establishment of a state of Israel, 1937. And obviously, not to go into specifics, nor to name names, it is, you know, has always been a controversial idea where it was understood that the leaders of Zionism were not religious Jews, and if anything, there were people that were against religious Jews, and there was big debates what to do in terms of the founding of the state. And the Gedolim in at the Aguda Knessia, the Mamash, all the Gedolim of the world were there, and there was very, very heated debates about what to do. Reb Chaim Ozer, this is 1937. was already not well. He was Nifter only 3 years later. So he wasn't actually there at the Knesset, but he was the leader. He had messengers there, and they're going back and forth, updating him what's going on. Just as an aside, the Brisker Rav was asked, you know, the British are not going to ask, what did Aguda, the group of Orthodox rabbis, decide about their position in the state of Israel? You know, the Orthodoxy was a miut de miuta of the Jewish people. They weren't the big players. So the Brisker Rav was asked, like, you know, why should we be nervous about what's going on here at the Knesset? How's it going to affect anything? So the Brisker Rav answered, quoted the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes after the Rav. Holchanach HaRav. Well, most of the Jewish world, the greatest Rabbanim, are right here at this Aguda Knesset. Whatever they're going to decide is going to be decided in Shemayim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So really what was going on with those Rabbanim, even though politically it doesn't sound like they had much power, but their internal discussions played a role. And the record has it that a few of the major Gedolim were very upset about the manner and how the issue of the state was going about, and they're ready to walk out and make a macha and basically end the discussion about it. Reb Chaim Ozer heard about this through his messengers, sent the letter to those Gedolim, they should not walk out. They should continue the discussion, the debate, and that action by Reb Chaim Ozer played a key role in Aguda taming down their, they actually have the suggestions and the rhetoric, whatever you would call it, that Agudas Yisrael had against the idea of the formation of the state, but they left out all the bigger issues which the Kanaim originally were going to walk out from, all because they listened to Reb Chaim Ozer. So here you see just a glimpse of some of the major issues going on in Europe, Israel, we'll see soon America, that Reb Chaim Ozer played a central role as someone viewed as the Gadol Ador, the Posek Ador. The Chafetz Chaim asked Shailas to Reb Chaim Ozer. He was viewed as the Rashi Bahag, the greatest of that generation. He was the one passing the Shailas. The next area I'd like to spend just a few moments on is the Sefer Achiezer, which just this morning, as I'm going over it again right before the shir, you know, if you look in the back of the page, this is the Hakdama, the introduction to the Sefer Achiezer. I hope to end with this. But if you look at the date, right above the name of Chaim Ozer Gordinsky, when did he publish the Sefer? It gives me a little chills when I say it. It's Chav Zayin Adar, Tuf Resh Pei Beis. This month is the 100th anniversary of the publishing of the Sefer. Right now. And the Sefer Achiezer, though it's known in yeshiva world, is probably not as well known outside. It's a very lumdish Sefer. And it's actually studied in yeshivas. Yevamos, it's very, very involved in. And I was going through a sugya in Hashavas Aveda, and you see the absolute command that Reb Chaim Ozer has on the Gemara Baba Metzia, El Metzia, different shitas, how you learn shot there. Wow. What's very interesting is you look at Shal Shetshuva Svarim. Many, many Shal Shetshuva Svarim, responsa Svarim, are the types where, okay, it's dealing with a question that someone asked, and perhaps it's going through the background, the basics, some earlier tshuvos that maybe were written on the topic, and the author's conclusion, what he views the Pesach Halacha is. To be honest, most Shal Teshuvah Svarim are not studied in yeshivas as part of, you know, lumdus. It's very dry, practical halacha. There are few shal tshuva svarim which are written with such what we call great lumdus, such great depth of understanding of Gemara, Rishonim, Achronim, that it becomes part of what we call the yeshiva curriculum. You know, off the top of my head, you know, it's a short list. The Noda Yehuda wrote such a Shalosh Yeshiva Sefer, the Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Kiva Eger, Rav Moshe's Igros Moshe has tremendous lumdus in it. But Rabbi Chaim Ozer is right there. Wrote a tremendous Sefer with lumdus that's a pleasure, exciting to learn such a Sefer. And just to give a little picture of who Rabbi Chaim Ozer was, we already said talked about him being the leader in the posik, but and he was sharp enough to answer a question from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter at the age of 10. By his bar mitzvah, so what was common in those days in Europe, you'd say over a pshetel. Seems what he offered is, he said he prepared for his bar mitzvah, the ksos and sivas. You could ask him any question on these lamdash asfarim written on Shulchan Aruch, and he basically was able to quote it verbatim. The ksos and the nesivas. So the toughest lamdash asfarim across the entire gamut of Shulchan Aruch Loshen Mishpat. He knew them cold for his bar mitzvah. Quite amazing. They say, if you want to find Rabbi Chaim Ozer, there were two addresses to look. His house or the Strashon Library. The Strashon Library was founded by a Gvir. Actually, we know him from the back of the Gemara, the Rishash. The Rishash was a great Rav, but he was also a Gvir, and he founded in Europe, I guess in Vilna, the Strashon Library, which had every sefer under the sun. Rav Chaim Ozer would be there. Fact is a cute story. Rav Rudiman, the founder of Yeshivas Ner Yisrael, first yeshiva of Yeshivas Ner Yisrael, who was known as tremendous Baki. When he passed through Vilna, I guess he would do two things. He wouldn't stop at the candy store and the pizza shop. When he would pass through Vilna, he would go to the Strashon Library, spend time reading some new sefer, and he'd try to visit Rav Chaim Ozer, two big attractions of Vilna of those days. So this young yeshiva bach would come by, Chaim Ozer Faharim, okay, new. Yaakov Yitzchak, Ruderman, what sefer did you look at this time in the library? I told him the name of the sefer, and Chaim Ozer basically would start quoting the sefer. Tremendous, absolute knowledge of Svarim. Yes, one of the most famous things about Rabbi Chaim Ozer, his mind was so complex, he was literally able to answer multiple shilas at the same time. He was ambidextrous. He was able to write with both hands. He wrote two letters at the same time. Yes. Our minds, our feeble minds, can't wrap ourselves around what that even means. But he was that talented of a person. He was able to do everything at the same time. Unbelievable. Yes. And I'll give you another. I'll give you another cute chiddush of his. The halacha is, we've done this over the years, that when it comes to tzedakah, okay, we know about the idea of meiser, giving one-tenth. And a person who, Baruch Hashem, is a gvir, there's an idea of giving, you know, up to a chomesh, 20%. Well, there was a situation, but Chaim Ozer basically took his whole paycheck and gave it for this tzarech, for this need. And one of his students challenged him. He's like, Rebbe, the Gemara says you're only allowed to give up to a chomish. So he says, you're right. For tzedakah, I can only give up to a chomish. But I'm allowed to spend whatever money I want to my own pleasure. Giving tzedakah is my pleasure. We have coming up soon. We have coming up soon the Yontif of Purim, and there's a beautiful Rambam the Mishnah Berurah quotes that people usually spend more money on Sudas Purim and Mishloach Manos than Matan Savionim. So the Chavak Ha'im pushes that ideally it should be the reverse. You spend most of your money on Matan Savionim and the other stuff secondary. And he says, because if you really quotes the Rambam's language, that the greatest simcha is helping out aniyim. Now, we can know that intellectually, but Reb Chaim Ozer, he lived that. He really felt that. So I think that was part of his chiddush. he gets around the din chomesh because hanos atzmo, but it wasn't just intellectual chap. He really felt that. And I would like to spend time now on the final area of Reb Chaim Ozer, call him the first posik of the yeshiva world. You know, the term Rosh Bahag is something that very much was appropriate for him. What Rosh Bahag is an acronym for the title Rosh Shel Kobanei Hagola. That Reb Chaim Ozer was literally the head of the entire Jewish world. I saw two fascinating stories, just in terms of the money, running the money of the Jewish world. When he first came to Vilna, so the way the city worked was they had, the Rav had a ledger. In that ledger, he had written down all the different financial obligations within the city. Let's say for the schools, the mikvah, it seems the Rav would hold on to also the different monies of Nidunya, dowries. Within the Jewish community, I know Jews are into banking, but it seems like the Rav was the biggest banker in the community. And people entrusted the Rav with a lot of funds. Well, those funds were inside the ledger. Shortly after he became the young Rav of Vilna, guess what happened? The ledger went missing. That's a catastrophe. We have no backup files. It's not saved on some computer. It was one old European notebook that had all the business dealings, and Vilna was not a small city. It wasn't Rodin. It was Vilna. It was a metropolis. Everything going on in the city was in the book. Chaim Ozer previously looked at the book one or two times. By heart, he started writing over what he remembered with all the cheshbonos inside the book. The story, they say, it was an absolute nace. A while later, they found the ledger. They checked Reb Chaim's list to the ledger. He was kamat perfect on everything he wrote. But that takes me to another story I came across. I actually put it in the bottom of the sheets. The Chiel Michel Feinstein, who happens to be the nephew of Moshe Feinstein, the son-in-law of the Brisker Rav, Chashev Rosh Hashiva in his own right, at the schus to meet him. He told over that he saw this himself. One time he walked into the house of Chaim Ozer. Everybody walked into the house of Chaim Ozer. Chaim Ozer's house was literally where Shusser Rabbim. People were constantly coming there, Rosh Hashivas, Hasidic Rebbes, ladies, they say, with pushcarts selling fish. Everyone and anyone, the simple person, everyone found a spot in Reb Chaim Ozer's house. In fact, at some certain point in his life, he was even maskim, the community bought him a bigger house just because there were so many people coming in. Chiel Michel Feinstein testifies. He walked into his house one time when Reb Chaim Ozer was asleep. He was literally sleeping on this wooden chest. And he was so aghast. Like, the Gadol HaDor doesn't have a bed to sleep in. He literally was asleep on a wooden chest. And he found out inside the chest were the communal funds. Chaim Ozer would sleep. I don't know if this was all the time or after they got extra funds, whatever, would literally sleep on the chest as part of his achrayas to watch it. That's somebody who's worried about the Jewish world. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky's son, Rav David Kamenetsky, was a Kamenetsky, brilliant mind, recently wrote a biography of Rav Chaim Ozer. It sounds like it's a few hundred pages on just like the first part of Rav Chaim Ozer's life, I think from 1863 to 1910, before World War I, before World War II, just getting started. And I was very excited in my research, and then I came across this the other day. He had the same line, which I think I was hitting at. David Kamenetsky writes, "Everything we have today, the entire yeshiva world, is all from Chaim Ozer." Is that pre-having a leader of this magnitude, that literally united the Torah world? Look, there are many individual yeshivas. Even Rabbi Chaim Ozer, originally, there was one yeshiva he took achrayas for, the Ramlis yeshiva. Okay, that was his yeshiva. He fundraised, he helped out. And every yeshiva had their little supporters. There was no concept of a unified yeshiva world until Rabbi Chaim Ozer. Chaim Ozer saw that a way to be mechazik, each individual yeshiva, is to have one Vada yeshivas, one way to unite all the yeshivas together. And that's something that Rav Chaim Ozer founded. He found this, firstly, in terms of helping support the Vada yeshivas financially, but he also utilized this in World War I and World War II, when the yeshivas were displaced because of the war. He helped them get restarted, helped them find new spots. And there's I remember this, hearing this yeshiva multiple times. There were major shilas of how to restart these yeshivas during the war. How should he do it? And a lot of Baal Batim people were pushing him. Financially, the easiest way is just combine them. We'll make one area. This will be the Mir, Panovich. One big yeshiva, or a few big yeshivas. And Rabbi Chaim Ozer protested and said, absolutely not. And he was the one fundraising the money. He made it harder for himself. But he said, each yeshiva has its own flavor, its own unique derech. If we just lump them all together, we're losing out those beautiful shvatim in Klal Yisrael. We'll make a joint organization to collect money for all the yeshivas in general, but we have to keep the identity separate. A brilliant idea. You know, in today's world, maybe we need a Rabbi Chaim Ozer to stand up for the individual, unique aspects of each yeshiva, which somehow in the past couple of decades have somewhat been lost. I'll show you some other shilas. You know, when Chaim Ozer being the head of the yeshiva world, there are many psakim, and people may not realize this, that there are many psakim about how to go about things in the yeshiva world, which are mesora. Rabbi Chaim Ozer was somebody who not only had this understanding, but he passed it on. Rav Shach, later became the leader of the Torah world in Eretz Yisrael, was someone who had a shaychus to him, who was trained by Rabbi Chaim Ozer. Rabbi Aaron Cutler, who also became the head of the American Torah world after the war, was someone also who had a shaychus, and people already predicted that he would be one of the next people to take over, like Rabbi Chaim Ozer, and run a yeshiva world. I'll show you a very interesting practical shaylah. There's a shayla. Let's say you find money in a shul, in the base medrash. Who has rights to that money? So one might say, look, a base medrash shul is a communal organization. No one owns it. So therefore, If I find something there, oh, find his keepers. I have first dibs. I have rights to it. Rav Chaim Ozer held not like that. And Sternberg's quotes him in the tshuva on the left side I found there. The Rav Chaim Ozer said no. Someone who fundraises, who the Rosh Hashiva, who sets up a yeshiva, he has bailus, he has ownership of that yeshiva. At least he's saying Lagabi Hashavas Aveda. Why? A very important kolchas and nefesh. Chaim Ozer says, I'll read you the last five lines in the middle of that paragraph. Shagon Rebchaim, Shamati Shagon Rebchaim Ozer, Sover, Shemutav Lahachzach Hamatzav, Kein Shiyidma Ram Hamaasav Kishlo Mamish, Litzarecha Yeshiva. That someone who is a Rosh Yeshiva, who takes responsibility, collects money for Yeshiva, the Yeshiva should be viewed as his. Sha'oz Moser Navsho Yoser, Lakaima Makom Achziko. You want someone to run a communal organization? You want someone to be a Rosh Yeshiva? Then you have to treat the yeshiva as their yeshiva. Because otherwise, it's such a thankless, rough job. You need them to be able to be moser nefesh for the yeshiva. So you know what? Let them treat it as their yeshiva. And you find something, Shavas Aveda, in that spot. Tremendous insight. This is a psak of Reb Chaim Ozer. At the same time, Reb Chaim Ozer was somebody that he was super dedicated to yeshiva, 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 but for years did not write svarim because he felt it's more important to be osik b'tzarchi tzibar than to write down his kedushim. But I would like to end this year with reading from the Hakdama that Reb Chaim Ozer wrote for the Sefer Achiezer. So hopefully by the end of today's share, you see a little bit of a picture of the great Gaonis of this Posek Ador, Reb Chaim Ozer, a Baal Achrayus in a very critical eras of the Jewish people, someone who's safer. Baruch Hashem has studied in yeshivas as a sefer of Lamdas, and really someone who built what we have today, the great yeshiva world. This Hakdama, which I believe anyone wants to catch, there's an English sefer, Rabbi Bamberger, a neighbor of mine from back in Queens, has these like coffee table books from published by Art Scroll. Great Jewish, all different things. Great Jewish is the title. So one of them, I think he goes through the Hakdamas, introductions to Svarim, or parts of Svarim. I believe he has this in there. I've given this to my Talmidim many times to read. This is one of the, you should never skip the introduction to a book, Rabbi Luban would always tell me. But this Hakdama is so powerful, so inspirational. His Hebrew flows as poetry. I'll try to read it in the original and give a little translation. I'm going to skip around. Machshavas toga misrosas bekerav lev choshev. Tremendous upheaval in the mind of a person thinking. Ha'im shas chirm kazos mochanes lahutzi svarim la'orolam. 1922 is now a good time to start publishing svarim. 1922. Oh, we just got over World War I. The world is not exactly calm. Is now a good time to start publishing svarim? Hello, Yishol Sholo. Am Yisrael Tavo B'Yam Shel Dimos. The Jewish people is sinking in a sea of tears. Va'atam Omim Shira. And you're going to say, sing Shira? You're going to write a sefer? Maharsim Macharvinu Mibayis Mimichutz. Chuz Mechatira Tachas Yisodas HaTorah. They've destroyed the whole foundations of Torah. Va'atam Bam L'Foras Echol B'Tzavtu Uprachim. And you're going to come and dress up these burnt out, destroyed shuls by putting flowers in there? Heichal Hashem kulu bor be'esh. Hashem's sanctuaries are destroyed with fire. V'atem oskim b'kishet prachim chamed. And you're tending to the flowers? Who are you to write a sefer now? Why are you writing a sefer now? This is the question that Rabbi Chaim Ozer asks of himself when he writes a sefer. And remember, this is a person who pushed off till this point in his life from writing Sfarim, which he actually references later, because Tzarchi Tzibur take precedence. So why is he writing a sefer in 1922, 100 years ago this month? Listen to his answer, it's so beautiful. Ulam, Zekoach Yisrael Sabelo Kev Utaraso B'chodoros. This is the power of the Jewish nation to its God and its Torah through all the generations. V'chol tkuvos ha'zmanim. Gam kishacharev chada ha'is munachas al tzavaro. The knife, the sword is on their neck. Torah Hashem ha'is shashua kol ayom. The Torah is their delight all day. Gam eis ha'chorben ashekol kiyam halom hu besakana. V'isas chasos ha'tzdukim. All these times, Yavna v'chachamel sheris Yisrael ha'isa ud utzameish. Yavna v'chachamim was this firebrand saved from the flame. Ayadam nishmar v'nimsar aksav ha'kabbalah. Through them was given over the writings and the tradition. Ayadir rabbesina shabaritz Yisrael v'shababavah nichmu ha'talmudim ha'mishnah v'ha'gemara. Through our great rabbis, they wrote the Mishnah and the Gemara, Asher behem utrim kol morgshei avos sudei hator v'das darchel. Where would we be without the Mishnah and the Gemara? Shem or zeruah v'chol kolch v'yazohar. Shem kol ruach Yisrael yagdil nafsho. V'chol malkam shaholach Yisrael imako nodrim. Wherever Jews went through the galus with their staff in hand. Kol malkam shagos ha'shchina imo. V'shem heichen mishkan ol olum al datorah. Wherever we traveled through the diaspora, we brought with the Mishkan, the yeshivas, the Bati Midrashim, to learn Torah. Umiyom ha'galus Yisrael mi'atzenu, from the days that the Jews were exiled from our land. Lo nifzikul ha'shasheres arucha me'eretz mada idei gonim ha'mavarim. We were never exiled through the Torah of the great gedolim ha'poskim ha'rishon v'acharonim. Asher gambi me'hashmad v'ha'gzeros. Haradifos vatoltulim, amlu b'mesiris nefesh, lahachin muchan l'torah, v'kol nichna al yodim habinin ha'atik l'torah Yisrael, v'nichum makam l'izgadar bo. How do we have a Mishnah? How do we have a Gemara? How do we have Torah survive through the ages? It was only because Jews did this at all times in life, not just when they're sitting back b'shalva and writing chedushim under the Florida sun. They were doing this when they were chased by the Nazis, by the Bolsheviks, by the Crusades, throughout all the ages. He writes in the next paragraph, Kol yeshiva v'yeshiva, mivtzer ol yehudis. Every yeshiva is a tremendous fortress for Judaism. Hispashtos limud Torah, he trisp b'fnei apronius. The growth of learning Torah is a shield from tragedy, umagim ifnei hanogim v'misayim, and it protects us from all bad things. He talks a little bit later about Russia and the Yonadioma, Ukraine. In the bottom paragraph, he thanks the support of the American Jews who financially help support these yeshivas, the Vada yeshivas in Europe. In the last paragraph, look what he writes. Till now, I haven't written these. Because of the yoke of learning of the tzibar that was put on me, when I was only young. And I always gave that kedima. So we always put everything else first. But skipping to the middle of the paragraph, he says, Gam kasher mehashem itzadi gever, Shem sets up the steps of a man. V'tiltuni tiltil b'yimei melchama michutzu iri. I had to leave Vilna. Chaim Ozer was a person who never left Vilna. He was offered positions, become the chief rav in St. Petersburg in Russia. He was offered a position to be the chief rav of the entire Jewish world in Israel, to move to Eretz Yisrael. He turned all these down because he felt an achrayus that went back generations and generations to Vilna. And during World War I, he said, I had to leave Vilna. You know what he left Vilna with in his hand? He brought with him his Sfarim. He brought with him this Ksavim. Kam Sham Lachu is Lavavi and Yanam Aklalim. I brought with my Sfarim, but I'll also leave a Sadirak Ma'at. I didn't really have time to do only a little bit. Being cold Karvi Me'a Zikna, but now that I'm getting older, for Marti Ace Lasos Labesi, it's now time to do something. Kiev Shalitkos Odal Yamim. I don't have time to push it off longer. And that's why today, Chaf Ches Adar Tuf Reish Pei Beis, came out 100 years ago. Chaim Ozer signed off and published the beginning of his Sfarim. What an amazing person. And I think this description, which we have in print from him, the clarity of thought, when you first read that kasha, how can you write a sefer at a time like this? It hits you like such a strong kasha. But his answer is the most beautiful portrayal of what Jewish history, about what Jewish continuity is all about. And Be'ezus Hashem, his Torah, his Psakim, but more so his legacy, should live on for all of us. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zocha to the coming of no more tsaros, no more pogroms, no more anti-Semitism, and welcome to Geula and Mea Mashiach, and to greet in Shemayim so many of these people, which hopefully today we'll have a little bit better understanding of who they were. Thank you very much.